good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. I don't know when you're listening to or watching this podcast, but I want to thank you for tuning in here again to the Pinellas County Schools Digital Learning Podcast, Tales from the Tech Side. In this episode, we will be discussing the unseen support that's necessary to make all those wonderful educational platforms work. Today, I have with me guest Kevin Hogebrook, who works for Pinellas County Schools. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me, James Wilson.
So, Kevin, you and I go back pretty far. You know, we've had some different roles in the district. Can you share with our listeners first your current role and title, and then a little bit about your history with Pinellas County Schools?
Absolutely. So currently I work in TIS, Director of Applications Support and Development, which is software development for short. And I've been working in that department for 6 years. And so to think about, so this is my 26th year in the district. So as you say, we've been here a long time. I did a year in Hillsborough County as a substitute. So I've had all kind of roles. I've worked as a mathematics instructor in secondary education as well as post-secondary. I've actually had the opportunity to be a technology coordinator. So I did that for a number of years. And really, being a technology coordinator is where my transition started, because I was actually able to take some of the logic in mathematics and apply it to real life situations. So that was really exciting for me, and it was fun. And it actually was like the transition, almost like the new thing that I discovered in my life that I wanted to do more of. And so as a technology coordinator, I worked in the school for several years, and then I end up getting into coaching, instructional coaching. I think that's where we met. And so I was able to work with high schools, middle schools at the district level, learn pedagogy, just really everything I needed to know from the research side of it, what instruction should look like. And then becoming an expert, not just in the hardware part, but then coming into application support and development, I became an expert in programming. I became an expert in software development because that's what we did in the district.
Okay, that's great. And for our listeners, math does lead to
yes.
lots of other things. As a father, I tell my kids that the one thing you learn from math is the ability to problem solve.
Absolutely.
And so if you can problem solve, the door is open for you.
Absolutely.
Wide. So with that, I want to talk about, and for teachers, and you and I both are former classroom teachers, and the teachers that we know, that embrace technology, they have this philosophy that I just need it to work, that they don't really think about what's going on the backside and all the things that are required. Teachers see something on the internet or Pinterest or any of those social media platforms, and they quickly want to try and use it. And they don't realize that behind the scenes, there's a whole team of people, yours being one of them, that helps to support and get those applications up and running. So how does your team support when those teachers want to use those existing applications and programs?
Yeah, and I forgot, I was a part of digital learning for an entire year, your current role, so I forgot that piece. You know, so when people think about TIS, typically when I have conversations, and even lately when we talk about TIS.
So not to interrupt you, but some of our listeners may not know what TIS is. Can you explain TIS?
Right. And so this was an awakening for me, because I assume everybody understands like TIS. Hey, here is TIS. But come to find out, people don't realize that TIS is our Technology Information Systems Department. Well, it's not a department, it's actually a division in Pinellas County Schools. And TIS is made up of six different departments, right? And so in that department, you have what we call user support, which if I had to give it a name, it would be very simply similar to like the Geek Squad or Best Buy, is because it's where we buy our hardware, we buy our computers, and we do our troubleshooting. So that's our user support department. Then we have our data center department. So if I had to identify data center in something we realized, I would say Amazon Web Services. So it's where we set up our servers, where we can have access to data and store data. And so we have something called a cybersecurity department, and that would be like our Norton or McAfee. And so in that department, we want to make sure that our data, our applications are secure, that we're not being hijacked and our information is being stolen. And so then we have what we call application support and development, which I would say is our Google, our software development. And so for me, that's where I work. I work in the software development department. And so we have all these pieces and these mechanisms that we have in TIS that really no one even knows exists. Because what happens, teachers get on the computers, or they want a computer, they request it through the principal, but there is an operation that's happening. Or they get on applications such as Focus and they want it to work, or they want to be able to inventory library, media, classrooms, and we have to develop applications. And so there is a network of many things that are going on in TIS that no one knows about. And so maybe today we can kind of give you a glimpse into what we do. Oh, and I forgot telecommunications and networking, which is kind of like our Bright House.
Okay, so yeah, that is exactly why in this series, and this won't be our first show that peeks behind the scene, but we want to sort of pull that curtain back so that not only can our teachers and students and parents, but all stakeholders know that, yes, ed tech or educational technology is great,
right,
but there's a lot of moving pieces. And so if we can just show some of those pieces, then our listeners and our users can all be like, okay, have a better understanding,
right,
and actually hopefully have a little more patience, you know, when
absolutely
something breaks or something's not up and running, immediately they have an understanding, well, okay, this is a process and it doesn't just happen overnight, even though for a lot of them it appears that way.
Right, right. So an example, so a great example, if you're a Pinellas County employee, the one thing that we're always looking for on Fridays are what? Our paychecks. Yeah. And so part of application support, one of the major things that we do, so we do several different things. Actually, we do like seven different things. But one of the major things that we do is we manage the software that makes sure you get paid, right? And so the fact that you're paid every single day, the fact that you're getting the right W-2 forms, the fact that you're able to go into ESS and see any pertinent information as far as identifying your sick time or sick days, or you're identifying what you should be getting on a weekly basis, we manage those systems. And if that system fails or if that system goes down, nobody cares about who's behind the scenes programming. They just want to make sure they get paid on Friday so they can pay bills. So we manage that. So in application support and development, one of our major applications is terms. And so we manage the software, the programming to make sure terms is functioning well, right? And so in addition to terms, one of our larger applications is Focus. And so Focus is an application, we call it like a second party or maybe a third party, but we manage all of the data that you have in your student information system. So whenever data comes in, we have to program that data, We have to make sure the data is going into the right places. We have to distribute the data. We have to clean the data. We have to make sure it gets back to focus. And then when we're doing exchanges on that data, we have to make sure the data is secure. And so that is a large part of grades, being able to get report cards printed, being able to have accessible information in a timely and usable manner, which is really kind of our vision of what we do. And so that's part of what we do as well. We also handle what we will call our application system. So we call it SRS, our student reservation systems, our DAP. So being able to get students into the right programs, making sure they have access to the right school, make sure schools aren't over capacity, to make sure the lottery system is performing correctly. We manage all of that as well. And so that's a part of what we do. And then another thing that we do in application support is we manage all the data. So any data that comes into PCS, we want to make sure that we're able to get that data, right? We want to make that data usable. We want to make sure it's accessible, and we need to distribute it out in a timely fashion. So when we create our applications, specifically to schools, we have to have the right data. And so right now we're streamlining our data systems. We're looking at software that's going to be efficient for the district to make sure students have what they need, to make sure teachers have what they need, and then other staff members have what they need. And so that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. That's not all we do, but that's some of what we do.
So you mentioned one thing, data. And so there's, like you said, all different types of data. When it comes to student information, we all know that there's something called FERPA, or the Federal Educational Rights and Privacy Act, which sort of dictates who can see what and what we have to do, right, as far as a school district in maintaining student privacy and data. How does that play into your work a little?
So FERPA plays into really all areas of our work. What we're doing now, as we're looking to update our systems, as we're looking to innovate our systems, part of that innovation is how do we govern our data systems? Because everybody knows and understands that data is important, right? I typically say data is the new oil. If you get a handle on your data and you do it right, then you have a lot of control. And so part of what we do in application support and development is we're learning better how to govern our data. And so our data is governed based on what we call personal identifiable information. And so that personal identifiable information is necessary for us to be able to make sure the right person is getting the right data. But we want to make sure it doesn't leave our department. Now, we want to make sure the right people have the right data. And so we're putting in currently a system to help us govern that data, to make sure we're able to identify where that FERPA data is going. We want to make sure the right parents have access to it. We want to make sure the right teachers have access to the right information, as well as district staff. And so that's a priority. It's a high priority, because if the data gets into the wrong hands, then you have yourself, you know, we call it a hijacking, or we have a data breach, you have yourself a problem. So as far as TIS, we put that at the top of our list, and we make sure that the data is being secured in the right manner with the right systems and software.
That's why it is so critical for our teachers that are listening to understand that just because a product is free and right, it looks good and you think it can fit the needs of your students, that there's a process that is required by, at least here in Pinellas County School, where you submit a request so that our team behind the scenes can evaluate and make sure that that company is, one, signing and agreeing to make sure they are complying with FERPA and with our district policies, because it is a commodity. Right. Data is a commodity, right, that if it gets in the wrong hands can really be detrimental to the potential future of our young students. And so parents, I would implore you to check out the companies that you're having your student, if you're asking your student to go on and do some extra practice with a program, take a minute, look into that company, making sure that your student's data is being kept secure and private, because to have a company with a breach or anything and that, right, data gets away, it could really put your student behind the curve before they even get started, because that data's going to follow and travel with us from here until we're gone, right?
Yeah, and so Mr. Wilson, you make a really good point. You know, so as educators, right, as educators, we know that we're always trying to find the best way to educate our students. Sometimes we think we have innovative ideas, or maybe we do, and we're looking for innovative software that can get the job done. And so part of what we want to do, and this is a great place, and part of what we're trying to communicate, before you hit that install or before you go online to use that website, you know, there's something called the EULA, the EULA, which is the End User Agreement. And a lot of times when you hit accept, you're accepting giving that data to another, to not only to that company, but that company can share it with other companies, and other companies can share it with other companies. So the moment we start putting in our PII, that personal identifying information, we're downloading in from Focus, right? And so we have student information, student ID, student name, student ages, and then we upload into that third-party system, they now have access. And so in many cases, what we're trying to do to divert that is we're trying to communicate to teachers, to staff members, that, you know, before you press that button, run it through the process. That's why we have a process in place. It's called IT governance. Even if it's free, and free is a lot of times the way they get us, right? Oh, it's free, then it's good for me. Not always the case, because it causes not only data breaches, but it puts us in compromising situations. And those are situations and circumstances that we really want to try to avoid with technology, because data is golden. Data is golden. If you get the data, then you have access to a lot of information. So whatever we can do to prevent that would be in our best interest.
So you mentioned not only do you guys manage current or already existing applications, your team also creates unique programs and software to fit the needs of all the different users a school district may have. I know that you're very instrumental in one specific original application that was created in Pinellas County Schools called the Personalized Learning Pathway. Can you share what that is and the future of it? Where's the trajectory of that going now?
Right. So not only do we support, so application support and development, but we also develop applications for our stakeholders that are potentially unique or that just can save our district hundreds of thousands, and in some case millions of dollars, because that's part of what we do. So one of the applications that we developed was really a request from Dr. Corbett, our former deputy superintendent, and he asked us, can you guys create something where a student can access, and they can access not only their data, so they want to know about their data, they want to be able to identify strengths and weaknesses in their data, and then get to tutoring or some kind of tutorial anytime, anywhere. So these were the parameters that, you know, we were kind of given. And so when we did our research, we couldn't identify anything out there that was actually doing that. And so through the process with Dr. Colosi and Dennis Russo, and then in partnership with our high school magnet at Lakewood, which was the CAT program, we actually developed PLP. And for me, that development project probably was one of the most exciting, because I had an opportunity to not just work with bright individuals, but I had a chance to work with students. And the what made that really good was students were able to give their insight. They were able to say, hey, we can program this, but here is what we really want. Here is what we need. So listening to the stakeholder, developing an application for the stakeholder and by the stakeholder, to me, was a game changer. And so with that application, we were able to create, in our flagship product for high school, we were able to create every single certification the student took. We were able to give it to them, all their test scores, ACT, SAT. We were even able to develop NCAA Division I eligibility, so a student can identify whether they were eligible. We were able to create bright futures. We were able to tell them whether they were on track for graduation based on their grade level. And so with that, to us, that was really the first time that we realized that, hey, we can do it. We can produce something in-house with our students, with our staff, and with our district that's going to be meaningful to our student and really good for our students. And so that was in 2016. So now in 2023, we're looking to change that, because applications develop, right? We update. And so now we're trying to determine, as we develop new things, what is the best look for this? And so what we're thinking about is potentially incorporating PLP in a more robust visualization, where students can interact with their own data and they can identify the same pieces, the same, and develop a course of action. And so we're looking to create a robust, a dynamic reporting system for students. And so that's kind of what we think the new, adding like AI to it, you know, the talk is AI, where a student can go in and say, hey, how am I doing? And it gives them insights. And so we're looking to integrate some of those pieces as well. And so that's kind of the roadmap, the idea of where we're going. We'll like to hear more from our students at some point to see if that's even an interest.
That is a great future of where that personalized learning pathway is headed for our students, being able to on demand find out
right
all everything they need to know to continue their education to get to where they want to be, not just where we want them to be. So allowing them to take some control of their educational pathway. That is excellent. So with that, that leads us to, that is for the students. For our, staff, you guys, you mentioned one of the things that I didn't know about, which was, getting paid, that you guys manage the paycheck system. And I really never thought about, how do I get paid? It's just, as an employee, I just want my money to be in my bank account,
right,
on the day that it's supposed to be
ready,
in
ready to go, account, right?
Ready to go. So that is, it is something that even myself, who's familiar with technology, didn't think about. So when we talk about not only just educational technology, but just technology in general, not only inside of education, but outside of education, there are lots of things that we just take for granted,
right,
and just want it to be there and to appear, not realizing that it takes a team of people and hard work to make those things happen.
Right.
So I want to thank you for joining us, and hopefully we can get you back on the show. This was just a short little, again, peek behind the curtain. There's so much more that goes into supporting not only educational technology, but a school district to operate when we think about all of the different moving pieces. And then a lot of it is built on some kind of software or application to keep it all moving. So thank you very much for joining us. For our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Again, as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. And until next time, we say thank you.